Chapter 23 The Lion Tree by Angus Mann. Where did you last see her?
Who?
Who? Colonel Ivanova leaned in against the table. Reserved incredulity was her specialty. Keep that up, Lieutenant, and we will be here a very long time. She crossed her arms over her breasts. A sigh. Her face assumed a look of overly patient indulgence. Julianne Miller. That's who.
That's not what I call her.
What then? Julie? Sweetheart? Darling? Jesus, Alan, how am I supposed to know? It's not like you've ever mentioned her. There was anger and frustration in her voice that felt good to him. Not because it was pleasant. It wasn't pleasant. But it was personal. She had used his name. Even if only to cut him, she had stepped back out into the open. He touched the swelling nodule on his neck. One finger. Then two. It hurt, but it was better than the arm restraints. Better, at least as long as he behaved himself. Otherwise, he would know new pain, she had said. He would be begging for the restraints. But the new pain had already been inflicted. That she had warned him with a smile he loved did not help.
Jules. All her friends called her Jules. And shouldn't you address me as Lieutenant?
He did not mean to smirk. Elena lowered her chin in a slow nod, still looking at him. Her eyes acknowledged his small victory. And in the singular glint of this look, he saw her, briefly, as daylight through a thick bank of cloud, or the moon through a midnight tangle of vine. Then she disappeared again. Like a spirit leaves the body, abandoning the eyes, leaving the expression intact, but hollow. Where did you last see Jules? The table between them was a standard issue picnic variety, painted a muddy camouflage green and large enough to seat 10. It was not, of course, real wood, but the effect was real enough, like everything else. Like the grass, like the air and the sky. Real. Only because it was familiar. Familiar because we are drawn to what we love.
I don't care for your tone, Colonel.
Good. Where did you see her last, Lieutenant? It was odd to be having this discussion, if you could call it that. Plopped in the yard out behind the officers' quarters. It would have been more fitting to be inside her office, two blocks away from the OQ, sitting in one of those stiff-spindled chairs on the other side of her desk, listening to her words slap the bare wall behind him, staring out the window behind her at the pompous circle of flags hanging limply above the garden. But she had wanted to have the discussion outside at the table. On the small carpet of grass behind the OQ. That suited him just fine. He couldn't stand to be indoors any more than she could. They at least still shared that much. 14 months here had not cured them. That was not nearly enough to want to be back indoors. They still needed to be outside.
unconfined, free of tiny decks and quarters and holds. Of course, outside was still indoors, wasn't it? Under different circumstances, he might have laughed at the irony. The great outdoors was about as real as the picnic table. About as genuine as this thing she called a discussion. The only thing really out of doors was death itself. He looked past the lips of Elena Ivanova. There was the spongy gray horizon that never seemed to change. Small rocky hills jutted up into the cotton sky, maybe 50, 60 kilometers out. Fields of young low corn rolled so far out into the west that it vanished into the flatness of a greenish-white smear. Closing the distance to the east, knee-high wheat, the color of a foaming, bloodless gold. A sourceless light glopped over the plants like bright syrup, bleaching the color from the leaves and stems, as though the entire world was a horribly overexposed photograph. There was no wind. There was no sound. There were no people or animals or bugs. Only stillness and suffocating light. It was still better than being indoors. Behind him, to the south, half a kilometer on the other side of the base, was the sorghum. How appropriate for this place, he thought. A crop of cloying sentimentality. Can you spare one of those snappers? Answer my question. Ocean Park, at home, 4 days before we left. That's where I last saw her. Can I have a goddamn snapper now? She extracted one from the side pocket of her uniform. It was the same side pocket he had playfully pilfered 100 times. She dropped it on the table, and he lunged for it before it could roll between the thick planks onto the grass. He held it between his lips and pinched off the end with a sharp, soft snap. A point of fire glowed to life, and he closed his eyes. He nodded. She wasn't at the launch.
She never came to the launches. Never saw the point. Anyway, she was sick.
Sick with what?
Just didn't feel good. Is the Army going to allow me an opportunity to grieve?
Grieve all you want, Lieutenant. Just answer my questions.
I don't understand why this is happening.
It was that tone again. The wounded bird.
I did not hurt her.
She's not hurt, Lieutenant. She's dead.
I didn't kill her. What makes you think I did? I was...
You were what? Here?
Yes. With you. Here. Jesus, Elle. It happened 10 months ago. How could I?
She lit off a snapper of her own. Pale blue smoke roiled behind her gleaming teeth. She looked at him like he was a child that refused to learn his own name.
That's Colonel Ivanova, Lieutenant. I won't say it again.
Long exhale.
It takes over 10 months to get a relay.
You knew that, didn't you?
Another pull on the snapper.
Of course you did.
We're a long way out here, Lieutenant, even for a beam of light.
He looked at her in silence, the leaden truth of those words nearly crushing him. They were, he was, a long way out there.
But now I'm getting a steady stream of information. 3, maybe 4 updates every 12 hours or so. Who knows what they're doing now? All those Unix MPs. They're on to something else, for sure. Like little sleuthing carpenter ants.
Another pull on the snapper. Another cuckolding of smoke in a bed of pink flesh and sharp white bone.
But 10 months ago, they were speaking your name every other breath. And every other breath, they scribbled out a message, stuck it in a photon bottle, and tossed it into the ocean. Now, after all this time, those little bottles of light are beginning to wash up on shore. It's like looking at old starlight, really. We're looking at history. But I'm learning a lot about you, Lieutenant. An awful lot.
There's nothing to learn.
Really? What was she doing when you last saw her?
She was in bed. It was early. I said goodbye. I left.
Left for where?
The base. Reporting to you. Where else would I be 4 days to zero count?
How long were you married?
The past tense. What a fraudulently clinical perspective. As though that part of life was a body on a table, a severed appendage, a scrap of meat to be carved up by forceps and scalpels, and sterile opinion. How terribly wrong that was.
He was no longer married.
He was a widower now.
God, a widower.
She read his face and nodded. Slowly.
She's really dead. It's a fact now, Lieutenant. How long were you married?
6 years in July.
It should have been July, he thought. Now, today.
This should be a brilliant day in the month of July, with the sun high and the breath of the world. Redolent and clear, pushing clouds like sails. The cornfields should be sounding their paper rattles and the wheat rolling in golden whispers and the orchards gushing pulpy, sticky juice. The ground should be rippling with kingdoms of insects and the air streaked with plumage. Sing-song voices chasing after children, chasing after dogs, chasing after life. July. The world should be overripe and ready to drop from branch to palm.
Did you love her?
But of course, that was all ridiculous. This place knew no Julys. There was no sky and no wind. He was a widower. Jules was dead and nothing would ever grow. Not here, not anywhere.
He was, suddenly, an alien and alone in his own existence. He was, as she had said, a long way out there. There was no sound in his ears nor feeling in his soul, save the little bottles of light beaching at the far end of a dead, black sea. That, now, was everything.
Did you love her?
Of course I loved her. She was my wife.
Look, I've got work to do. The others will be waiting.
But she was waiting for him blocking the exit to this discussion. The others are all at their stations working away, Lieutenant. They can manage without you for a while. My orders are to get to the bottom of things. I think we can do that better here than down there. Don't you? He said nothing, rolling his near-spent snapper between his fingers. The idea that he and Elena Ivanova carried the only beating hearts on the surface of this world was almost more than he could grasp. The idea that her treatment of him was due to her orders from Unix and not her own feelings was simply more than he could conceive. Would you really rather be underground? Okay, then.
The dome floor is already sealed?
Of course. They can't open it during a pressurizing cycle, which will take... She looked at the window in her wrist. At least another couple of hours. So, relax. We've got plenty of time to ourselves up here. I don't want you to worry about fuel cells or cryopods or mapping protocols. It's all under control. No one is indispensable, Lieutenant Miller. She looked at him a moment and added, as if only by way of afterthought and not deliberate cruelty. But you already knew that. He said nothing, looking out toward the edge of the world he could not see. The cotton sky seethed its lacquered, bleaching light and seemed to flicker and pulse at him, detecting some bioelectric resonance of his heart. Good, she said. Let's continue. She took a last deep drag on her snapper, exhaled, and then popped the moistened tip into her mouth with a delicate swallow.